Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so very much for the great honor you've given me, Pastor Josh and Miss Wendy, to be here with you. This is a special treat. My wife and my son and my son's girlfriend are here, and things are always better when my wife is in the room. I'll just put it that way. I'm a much better person, man, servant of the Lord when she's in the house. And I am glad. You know, the good thing about this church is you've got a pastor and mother and father of the house that hear from the Lord. And how do I know that? Is because their daughter Maddie is looking to go into Florida State. Now, I don't know about that, but when I hear this, I feel the Holy Spirit just filling. Just the blessings will flow from the house down, and so it's good. And my son is wearing his Florida State. It's good, and hallelujah, it's good in the house. And so, anyway, but thank you so much. And I'll tell you, your pastor is a stud. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, who does it? I mean, when he's in the room, you feel like, bro, enemy, bring off your best shot, because I'm going to whoop your tail, because I'm standing behind Josh, Pastor Josh. Yeah, yeah. And when he speaks, you feel thunder. I do. What a treat. Your friendship is a huge blessing and inspiration to my wife and I, but more importantly to the world, especially right here in Crestview. We had the pleasure of him coming to speak at a commissioner's prayer breakfast a couple of years ago. And the funny part is afterwards, so many people came up and said, "Who was that?" And his gift continues to make room for him. And I'm just in awe of your leadership, Miss Wendy. Your kindness went from obviously blessing our family through our bellies to now when she had Wendy's Kitchen, and to now blessing the whole city because of the love of a mother and a father to a community that desperately is in need of the real thing. And so we're grateful for that. Just feel like what a prophetic name even of this house. Just during worship, just felt like I began to see things where obviously the church is named Hope City, but I felt like the gates of our city, the gates of this city that has been well oiled and saturated by the prayers, not only of this house, but of all the saints of the city. I just saw the declarative statement, "Welcome to Crestview, Hope City. Welcome to Crestview, a city of hope." Councilman Capps, there you go. That's free gift with purchase for you right there. Take that back and take that to the mayor and get that up and running. But anyway, my message is not. The Lord has allowed me to serve in a few political things, but this is not about politics today. I'm here about kingdom. And so I'm going to share a few things that are, if you know me, you'll hear probably some things that I've said before, and I apologize for that. But yet I believe it's always a good reminder to remind you that the purpose of you here, you have a purpose and call in your life, and this city, this community is not the same until you raise your hand and take your assignment. And so I think it's really a good reminder to recognize that what you do is significant. Where you are is significant, and God's got his hand heavy upon you. And so I'm going to share a little bit around that today. But before I do that, you know, we had a song even about Christ earlier, as we should, we're in church, but about the cross. And Pastor Josh just talked about the significance of Easter last weekend. And by the way, if you've not had the honor to join a prayer circle with Pastor Josh, do it. I mean, this morning as he prayed, it was amazing just to even be in the circle, to get a little spillover from that. But when I was mayor of Destin, I one of the things that Destin was known for is obviously it's a family destination. It's a great beach destination. A lot of the periodicals around the Southeast, from Southern Living to Yahoo Travel to whatever, would always talk about the great experiences, the family experiences, the sandy beaches you'd have in Destin. And there's all these great accolades. Woo! All that's good stuff. And so when the Lord allowed me the opportunity to serve as the mayor of Destin, one of the first things he said was, "Congratulations, you're now pastoring a church of 13,000 people." And so don't take these accolades as a, "Hey, that attaboy." It's the best family destination, most beautiful beaches in Northwest Florida, comma, one of the best getaways, you know, of to go, comma. And he began to challenge me with the question, now what? Now what? And I believe we have these moments in history that get recorded by what we do with what's been given to us. But it's not a time to just pat ourselves on the back. I believe there are opportunities that the Lord gives us every single day. And one was last Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's what we're here. Obviously, it's what we believe for, we fight for, we celebrate every single year. But guess what? Today's a week later. Now what? Now what? We have this thing we embrace, our salvation, foundational. But there's also a mandate and a purpose as to why you're here that God wants you to fulfill, that if you don't do it, this city is just not the same. There's an assignment. There's an assignment. I mean, look at Nehemiah. When it came to rebuilding the walls, if you look at the numbers of Nehemiah, every person called to that had a section of assignment of the wall that they were responsible for. And if you look at the numbers, it wasn't all the priests of the city. There's 70% of the people that worked on the wall were marketplace. 20% were government officials. 10% were the priests of the city. That tells me that there's a teamwork that's meant to take place when you have marketplace, government, church, expand that to education, arts and entertainment, whatever sphere you're called to are meant to come together and work on the rebuilding, the establishment, the firming up of the walls. And so I want to read some scriptures, just some foundational scriptures before we kind of get into the things. I'm going to do a little bit of reading up front. I've got a couple, a couple paragraphs I'll read from a book study that I'm in part of. And then we'll kind of start getting into today's message. So I'm just going to jump right into the passages. And I know that they're going to get me back, so which is good. All right, number one, Ephesians 4:16. And I know, Nikki, you've probably heard me say this, Councilman Capps, you may have, Pastor Josh. I love this scripture because it says simply this, that the body was meant to fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the body is edified and growing and full of love. Why do I love that scripture? Because it tells me every role, everybody's got a part to play. And as you do your work with excellence, it becomes infectious to the people around about you so that they become excited about what they are doing. And I believe this is one of the best economic development models in the Bible. Why? Because you change the word from body to the city. It says the city was meant to fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So the city is edified and growing and full of love. But guess what? The city is not the same unless you step into your role in it. So I love that scripture just being foundational. Proverbs 11:11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Psalm 133, where the brethren dwell together in unity. There, Lord, you command the blessing. I don't know about you, but you are way, I mean, you got a deep theologian right here, but it's not, I don't read that as just a petition. I don't read it as just say, hey, well, maybe God, we do something, maybe God will show up and do something. I see where the brethren dwell together in unity. There, Lord, you command the blessing. It's a commanded blessing. He just needs the brethren to come together in unity. The enemy has played the long game to divide the body of Christ for a season of time. Some dunk, some sprinkle, some tongue, some don't, some spirit, some not. God wants the brethren, the body, to dwell together. We're many parts, but we're one body. Don't let denominational walls keep us from gathering, praying for each other, celebrating each other. The functionality of the body is when the body comes together in unity. The blessing of the commanded blessing of God comes upon a city when we recognize a church as his church of the city. And Hope City has a vital role to play within that. Jeremiah 29:7, work for the well-being of the city where I've sent you to. And pray to the Lord for this, for if it is well with the city you live in, it will be well with you. Psalm 2:8, only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. I'll give you the city of Crestview as your inheritance. The whole earth is your possession. So these are just some foundational scriptures. I'm going to read this thing. My wife and I have been part of a book study for the last several weeks, and I thought this really kind of captured a lot of things. It says simply this. It is our responsibility to be ambassadors of Jesus in every sphere of our influence. Our identities are as believers in him who happen to have jobs as a doctor or a plumber or a teacher. He has placed us in those situations for a specific purpose. to reach those around us with the love and healing power of Jesus Christ, and to change that industry or vocation so it becomes an outpost of God's kingdom influence. We begin to recognize that God has placed us as agents to bring his influence into our communities and vocations. We see change. As people are attracted to a relationship with Jesus because of the way we live, families change, neighborhoods change, cities change. And when a city is changed, it garners the attention of its county and region, then a state. And when a state and nation have changed, the world will notice, and the world will be won for Jesus Christ. And so I just want to say that, you know, to me, there's so much, and this is what God's been kind of talking to me some lately, and it kind of leads up to what I want to kind of talk about is I see there's so much division going on in the world today. Politics, race, you know, whatever the case may be, the enemy's kind of picked his flavor of what he wants to do to bring division. And I think a lot of times when you see division, it kind of creates a hopelessness sometimes. Is what's going to happen? Where's our stability? Where's our footing? But also think it creates an opportunity. I think there's a vacuum of time and place where the church has a role to step in and lead from the front. There's a gentleman friend that was friends of my wife and I, unfortunately he's passed, but he wrote this book. And I've always reflected upon the title because it simply says there's giants in the marketplace while the Davids are in the pew. And I think there's things that we come across that there's this promised land that the Lord has called us to. And if you're Joshua and Caleb, you know, you had that word of, hey, this is the land, the promised land. It's almost, I love that story because time and time again, the Lord keeps telling him, hey, I got the promised land. Already set aside. You don't got to do it. It's there. I've already decreed it. It's right there. I've spoken. It's right, just sitting right there. It's the promised land. It's for you. Just walk in. Just come on in. It's Crestview. Come here's promise. Come on in. Oh, wait a second. Well, what is the proof? I'm gonna send the spies in. I'm gonna check this land out. And they got into the land. Only two recognized that, man, this is it. The rest came back full of fear. And I think that's where I see the enemy just, he works on the 10 just to stir them up so they can come back and get, so you have the two people saying, what do we got to do? It's already our promised land. So the city that God has given you, the city of Crestview, it's like a promised land for those who live around here, living around about the community. You just got to step into your role. It's yours. And I think those are opportunities we have every single day but the problem that the enemy has done is continue to push us back. Kingdom-minded people can just doubt, despair, fear, anxiety, stress, whatever the case may be, to keep us almost on our heels so that you don't invade because he leaves the Davids in the pew while the giants are running the marketplace. And so I think this is a great opportunity we have for that. I was driving down the road the other day and I drove by a church and there's a sign in front of the church that said, pray for a national revival. Absolutely. We want to pray for a national revival. But I sat there and I drove by and thought, well, okay. I mean, I love city revivals too, but I mean, either one, I'm good with that. But I've said, was that church actually doing much more than the sign? And maybe that was that was their purpose, to get somebody like me to drive by to see the sign, to kind of get me excited again about things. But I think a lot of times we sit there and kind of do some things that make us feel good, as opposed to sometimes it takes faith without works is dead. Sometimes we've got to put a little action behind things and actually step in to see things to bring God through us into our communities. And so I'm going to read a few statistics from Barna. The felt were some good foundational pieces as well. This is from January of 2024, so it's fairly fresh. What role does the local church have in its city? A recent Barna research shows that except for one major area of concern, adults residing in metro areas don't see the church as responsible for addressing community issues. Of the many issues churches could address in the city, churches and churched and unchurched agree on loneliness. And we should. I think that's good. Furthermore, they say ordinary citizens such as myself and community families should be more responsible than religious leaders, church leaders, or Christian churches when it comes to addressing local concerns or leading meaningful change. Across the board, Christian churches and religious organizations are not the first groups that city dwellers think of as well-suited to address a range of issues. Further, urban churches that are willing to address the modern epidemic of loneliness may find this effort is welcomed by their neighbors and may build the connections and credibility needed to play a broader role in the community. And I love that. And Pastor Wendy, I love that you're doing the mothers. Mom, I've looked at my wife, the single moms outreach. I absolutely love that. Thank you for doing that. There's things like that. Obviously, loneliness, if we do it, I mean, in this case, do it exceptionally well. I think it builds excitement because people see faith in action. But for me, again, I'm not a deep theologian. I'm sorry, Pastor Josh. You're awesome. Mona and all these people, Nico. I mean, I'm a shampoo, rinse, repeat kind of guy. Just keep it kind of, keep it simple. And so I feel like for me, I kind of call it, you know, if you look at the foundation of our nation, the church, I believe, you know, the Bible says, Peter, on this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, the church there, as many of you probably know, is the ecclesia or ecclesia, however we pronounce that, which means simply called out ones to do three things at that point in time. One was to vote in elected officials, to declare war, and set the policy decisions of the city. That was that. So I believe that building on that, when our nation was founded, if you look at the founders of our country, all of them quoted the Bible. Many of them were strong and bold in their faith. And I believe the guidelines of our nation were firmly built of people of faith, people who love God, people feared God, people knew that we needed God foundationally in our nation. I think over time, we went from setting the guidelines of our nation, and I'll just say to the sidelines, who went from the guidelines to the sidelines. I think that's kind of cool. If you're still on the sidelines, you got a jersey on, you still feel like you're part of the team, guidelines to sidelines. And now for me, at least many times, kind of this was affirmed through this Barna study is from the guidelines to the sidelines. Many times I feel like the church is actually still out now outside of the ticket line, just trying to get in and be a spectator of what's going on. And so I feel like we have opportunities every day for the church to re-engage our communities every single day to get back to establishing the guidelines of our city, the foundation of our communities, and get back to become an active participant. And so I thought that stat reaffirmed that. The 1 in 4 U.S. adults believe the church should lead in solving local problems. With this in mind, Barna analysts wanted to determine who the general population believes is best suited to solve problems in their community, and where does the Christian church fit in? 1 in 3 practicing Christians look to the church for community solutions. Who do you think is best suited to solve the problems in your community? And they found that U.S. adults look first to the government. About 1 in 3 ranks as their number one choice, and about 1 in 4 say the church is. And so, bottom line is, I think we have an opportunity again, and just foundational. I believe the church, even right now, the community we live in, and this is, you know, what's cool about Crestview. You have some amazing, amazing leadership here. Tim, obviously, Baltic is a phenomenal city manager. Your mayor, you know, Councilman Capps. You have a great elected body that's running the city, and I'd love that. Obviously, this church. I love Pastor Josh is involved in the chamber. For a marketplace guy, I love nothing more to see pastors leaving the four walls of the church, engaging their city. And so that's one of the things foundationally. This church is a lot of the stuff you're going to say, Mel, I've heard all this stuff, I'm good. And you are, you're correct. And if anything, I hope some of this might just be a simple reminder that come Monday morning, there's a purpose on you more than popping the light switch on at your office. It's actually a kingdom assignment on Monday when you step into your office, because it's easy to be a Christian on Sunday morning. It's also easy to look to your left, to your right, and know who's on your team on Sunday morning, but it's also vitally important when you go out into your city to know who's on your team Monday through Saturday. So it's about relationships. It's about knowing who's on the kingdom team and the purpose you're assigned to do to infect and affect your city for good and for God. And so I think we have these opportunities. And I love this last thing from Barna, and then we'll move forward. I love this quote, "For far too long, the church has been known for what it's against. We want to be known for what we are for." And that's an unfortunate thing that y'all probably brush up against as much as I do. It's a lot of times, what is the church against as opposed to what we're for? I've got a video in a second. I'm not quite ready for that, but it's coming up. But I love the story of Joseph and Pharaoh. Obviously, Joseph had a rough ride, you know, from the pit to the palace to the prison, and you know, there's a situation, as you probably know, where he's called to interpret a dream. The cupbearer and the baker obviously did their part, but then the Pharaoh had a dream and couldn't interpret it, so they bring Joseph out. And what I love about that was that here's Joseph in prison, gets called out of left field, been a few years since he interpreted the other dreams, gets brought before Pharaoh, cleans up, shaves, cleans up before he goes in front of the Pharaoh. And gets the dream, and in an instant, interpreted the dream. And what I love about that is I think each of us have opportunities every single day I'll call them kingdom assignments, to bring kingdom solutions to today's problems. And I always felt like, hey, I'll speak for myself. Would I have been prepared if I was called during something to bring a kingdom solution? And I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'd hope that maybe I'd press in and say, God, what do you have? But what I love about that is we all have these opportunities to bring kingdom solutions to today's problems. And we all have this opportunity to press in, because we don't know when the Lord's going to allow us that opportunity. And so I'm going to play a quick video, and then we'll keep up the message. Go ahead. Those who've probably seen that recognize it from the 1980 U.S. hockey team. But what I love about that is obviously it's a true story. Took 20 competing players from various colleges that used to compete with each other, in a moment of time, coached them on how they can work together to do something above themselves that brought a historical change to our country and our nation at a time where we desperately needed it. And I love that some of the lines from that movie or from that clip is, you want to hear an amazing story. You want to hear an amazing story? And I think that's the opportunity that y'all, that Hope City has, the city of Crestview has, when you talk about the opportunities when the body comes together within Crestview, the great things. Think about that. If you took yourself 5 and 10 years from now, looking back, Pastor Josh shared the plans of the new church that y'all are looking to build, and that's powerful. I can't wait to see the history that's written through this church in the next 5 or 10 years. Great moments come from great opportunities. That's recognizing every single day when you go into the job site, you have an opportunity. I believe, my wife believes, that one word can change someone's life. One word can change someone's life. And how they leave your presence is really, really important. They can leave your presence with hope, which is a prophetic declaration over this house, or they can leave with weariness. And I believe that's an opportunity you carry. We are the greatest hockey team in the world. And again, I go back to what is the church of the city, is why I believe the unity is so important, that we become the greatest instrument in God's hand within the city of Crestview. And each of you play a part in that. And this is your time. It's not about delay. I believe that the enemy continues to frustrate and things of that nature, which he's been doing with me. But I believe from this point forward, I want you, my encouragement is to look at the city differently than you have in the past. Look at your teammates differently than you have in the past. Look at this church as a vessel than you have differently than in the past. Look at the city, look at the highways, the byways, the sidewalks, the community, the marketplace, education, government, arts and entertainment, whatever you feel called to, look at it differently as instruments in God's hands, of which you play a vital, vital role. So I'm going to go, for the sake of time, I'm going to do three quick things. Number one, you got to know your part. You are a key. All right. Love to do this exercise. And sorry, some of you have seen it, so don't spill it. Kimberly, you may have seen it too. So, all right. How many, I'm just curious. This is interchange. All right. How many of you are in full-time ministry? Would you say, I am in full-time ministry? Just raise your hand. How many of you are in full-time ministry? All right. Can I step off and come back in? Hey, everybody, Mel Ponder. All right. Hey, everybody. Hey, listen, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Pastor Josh, I'm excited because I really want to know how many of Hope City are in full-time ministry. Can you see your hands? How many in full-time ministry? Oh, man. Hey, everybody. Hey, Pastor Josh, thanks for man. Listen, I'm so glad I'm here. It's such a great honor to be with you. How many of you are in full-time ministry? You are all in full-time ministry. Every single one of you is in full-time ministry. There is not a second-class calling. Every one of you is in full-time ministry. All right, second thing I like to do, shout back. Tell me your favorite Bible story. Just your favorite Bible story. Just the person. Tell me what your favorite. David, Goliath. Esther. What was that? Noah. Mary in the alabaster jar. Paul on the road to Damascus. What's that one? Ruth. What was the one we're back here? Woman at the well. Oh, and I'm going to hit on that just if I get time. All right. So what I love about that is most of those, and that's usually about 80%, most of those are marketplace. And the reason I like to ask that is when I say, tell me your favorite Bible story, most often it's a marketplace person, someone outside the four walls they can actually envision the most. And so what I like about that is people, as believers, many times who we associate with is ones that had their assignment outside the temple. And I love that because it's a constant reminder that everyone's got a purpose and call. And did you know, these are some great statistics. Jesus was a workplace minister. Like, Mel, hey, wait a second. Of Jesus' 132 public appearances, 122 were in the marketplace. Of the 52 parables Jesus told, 45 had a workplace context. Of the 40 miracles in the book of Acts, 39 were in the marketplace. Which tells me that somebody might come into your place of business on Monday morning and might need prayer. Guess what? You maybe can't get to Pastor Josh and Wendy till next Sunday. But you can lay hands on them and pray for them. You can invite heaven to invade earth on your job site. Pray for them, to pray for their family, their child, their contract, whatever they're facing in their business. You have that opportunity. You are equipped with that opportunity. So know you play a part. You are key. Love the church of the city. Again, I love Psalm 133, not for the sake of that, but I want to talk about unify versus unity. United tends to focus more on the resulting state of being joined together, while unified tends to focus more on the act of bringing things together. What I love about that is we sit in this church right now this morning, we're united. We're united as believers this morning, but we become unified as we, your perspective comes in one way as you shift your perspective back, you become a unified force to go out into your city. Every week when Pastor Josh prays for you and blesses you and releases you, you become that force Monday through Saturday as your perspective is a unified force to go out into your city. I love Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Crestview and in Okaloosa County and all of Northwest Florida. And that's a New Kingdom message version. So it's just, but that is you. Just right here at home. A lot of things. I love all the things that happen overseas. I love them. But one of the greatest mission fields is right here at home. Love the city. What's the purpose of this city? To prove we are right, or to give our residents and guests an encounter? And again, I think we have, as you pray over the gates of your city, over the doorpost of your business, of your home, of your block, of those that to your east and west, you pray for your enemies, as you bless the other churches in town, you do everything that God's asking you to do, is it to prove you're right or to pray that heaven invades earth and you give them an encounter? One of the prayers I've always had is when anyone comes to the gates of our county, of our city, I pray they have such an experience and encounter with heaven that whatever they go back to, something sets them on fire to want to get back and have more. And that is just the prayer that I have because I want that encounter, because you can have a lot of great things. You can come here. Every family destination place talks about, hey, come and have a, you know, a family experience. Come to all this place, have a family experience. And I had someone tell this to me, goes, yeah, but Mel, what if it was reversed and say, what if you want him to come here to experience family? And there's just a difference to that. And I believe that's the opportunities we have every day. Jesus sowed as he went, the parable of sower. And just for the sake of time, I'll go through these. This quote that was given by a Jesuit University president said, the best lawyers, doctors, bankers, et cetera, should be Christian. We should be setting the example, not the exception. Setting a mayor with Mayor or Councilman Capps or Mayor Witten or someone and say, what can we do? What's a job that we can do to serve the city that no one else wants? And I would do that repeatedly and go ask for jobs from school principals, the mayors, whatever. Give me a job that no one else wants. I'm not looking for credit. So often we get wrapped around the axle for looking to measure attendance. And many times God's saying, I'm looking for measuring impact. And so we got to sometimes change our perspective of things and how we're looking at things. From building walls to building bridges. I love Ezekiel 47. If you read that, it's the river that flowed from underneath the temple. And I love that because the Bible talks about it went out 1,000 cubits, came up our ankles and our knees and our waist, then it went overhead. You probably know that story. What I love about that is the further it got from the temple, the stronger and deeper, more powerful it became. It became healing waters. And I love that about that. That's what Pastor Josh and Miss Wendy are filling you with every single Sunday as you come in this place. They're refilling you. You're giving out every week. You're giving out. You're getting filled back up. But when you go back out to your workplace, to the communities where God's called you, you should become more stronger and powerful. And that's what I love about that Ezekiel message. From cursing the city to blessing the city. Anybody watching the NCAA tournament? Anybody watching the women's tournament? Caitlin Clark, anybody heard of her? She any good? Not bad. She's pretty good. She's not bad. All-time leading scorer, men, women. Yeah, she's all right. What I love about her, I never really watched her play. I heard the hype, whatever. I started watching during the tournament, and I was like, man, she's good. She's good. I mean, my son played 2 years of college basketball, and I thought he was good. She's good. But what I love about that, and that's why I think this kingdom filling station that you have every Sunday here at Hope City is a kingdom filling station to continuously fill you up, because God has got his hand upon you to be kingdom champions in the city to which you've been called. And we need that. I need that. Pastor Josh needs that. Reason is just like Caitlin Clark, we need leaders who recognize their work as a calling, who love the city the way God does, who wants to transform our community for good and for God. We need the leaders out there. Why? Because she becomes a distribution element too. She elevates her teammates because of how good she is. When she see her play, she's not a ball hog. She's dishing. She's dumping out. She's got eyes in the back of her head making these phenomenal passes. I'm like, holy Toledo. Man, that girl can dish it out and play, but she can shoot the rock too. And she can drill threes, whatever the case may be, but she makes her whole team better. And I love that about that is kingdom champions encourage others. It's like the Ephesians 4:16. As you do your work, you help the other parts grow. So the city is growing and edifying, full of love. Just for a couple, let me just kind of bring it in for landing. Sorry, Pastor Josh. Government, education, business, church. I have a couple some things like that. First marketplace, recognize your workers calling, education. You know, the business community's got it right in a lot of ways. They go and adopt these classrooms and things like that at schools, and they kind of go, and we're used to that. But I God's like, why doesn't a church come in and adopt the whole school? You know, why are we waiting for the business community to step in front? And I get excited about opportunities like that. We get to go in and bless a whole school and take over. Man, let's be kingdom. Do things like that. Government, making appointments and asking what you can do. The church, being unified, engaging your city. Someone mentioned the woman at the well. Love that, because one word of knowledge, right where she's at, 5 husbands, made her become so excited about the possibility, went back and told the men of the city. You know how hard that must have been for a woman at that point in time to go back and tell the men of the city, where a whole city came into revival? One word, in season, city revival. So that the church has those opportunities. And I think overall, we're not necessarily looking for ROI as much as our return on investment. I think we're looking for the return on the community. And I think that's expanding the tent pegs a little bit more and taking a few things in. I'm going to play one more video, if you don't mind. And this is just a a little funny one, and then we'll bring it in for a close. Go ahead. Love that. Little Buddy the Elf. I love that. And let me tell you why I love that. It's because that's where I think we sit today in so many ways. So many things we do well. The city is sitting there doing some things well. We may be, just weary. We have made the cares of this world may have weighted us down so that you may be sitting on the best cup of coffee and not even know it. You need people like you to come in. I believe everyone is fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows the plans he has for you, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. The world can be tough. Lay bricks on your back. Negative words and comments can kind of leave you feel like you're stranded on the sideline, not knowing where to go. But each of us have significance in us. We're born with a purpose. We're called to a city. God has orchestrated us as the master conductor with a baton in his hand, waiting for the symphony of the city to arise. There's a sound over the city. I believe every city has one. And every one of you carry an instrument that bring forth that sound. Each of you have a chance to tell somebody you're the world's best. To bring that gold back to the surface that's been suppressed and beaten down from life circumstances or whatever the case may be. And you do that by being a city empowered, a church empowered, but walking empowered yourself. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I believe God has anointed and appointed you, like Esther, for such a time as this. There's great significance on this city. Great significance on this city. He's got teammates in this room are willing to raise their hand and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me." My prayer and hope today is that God would speak to you right where you're at, the sphere of influence he's given you, to recognize your work as a calling and you're a key piece of the puzzle, the sound of this city come alive. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of each and every one of you. Thank you for loving God. Thank you for loving others. Thank you for pressing through the hard times. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for pursuing Christ and making him Lord of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the gift and call of God upon their life. Lord, your word says it's irrevocable. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you remind them that they are yours. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as you declare the blessings and peace upon them, you'd also declare the blessings and peace upon this city to which they've been called. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, the functionality of this city would become oily with your goodness. I thank you, Lord, the highways and byways be anointed with good news. I thank you for Hope City Church. I thank you for this place, for Pastor Josh and Wendy, for everyone that's held the plow to be part of this movement in this city. I thank you, Lord, for the great things you have in store for each one of us and the great things you have in store for this community. Lord, I pray, Lord, that people have come in today feeling weary, saying, "All right, Lord, I'm with you. I declare you're Lord of my life, but what do I do next?" I pray, Lord, there's something I said, regardless of what I said, you'd whisper in the hearts of how pleased you are with them, declaring, "Well done, good and faithful." Lord, I bless everyone here, their families, their workplace, the city to which they've been called. And I thank you, Lord, for coming and doing amazing things in and through this place, in and through this city, and in and through this church. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the sound of the city coming alive through the people here. You're an amazing God. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for coming. Bless you guys. Have a great week. Honored you're here. Thanks.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.